Strange, you know, this talk sort of follows on from Luis's excellent sermon this morning. And it's funny how this sometimes happens. They dovetail together and one follows on from the other. As some of you weren't here this morning, I'll just briefly run through what we did on the mission last week. And this was over in Essex. You may have seen the posters up downstairs. And down here is London. So we were between the two rivers, the Stour and the Colne, and I was based with the Clare Baptist Church and Wilfredo and Teresa at Great Walling Field. So Teresa came back with me last weekend. Wilfredo is still on week two and he's travelling back this evening, probably back about 9 o'clock tonight, coming back with Fiona, a friend of ours from Cirencester Way. So it was a long week, Saturday right through to the following Sunday, so that was 9 days. And we started with a commissioning service in Haverhill, where about six ministers from different churches came to pray us off into mission, to bless us. And then we had our sandwich lunch, and then we went off to our own towns to meet our local teams. And in the afternoon, I was in Clare Town. It's a small town, I suppose, 2,000 or 3,000 people. And some team members went down through the shops, and I wonder if we might try that here one day. Just talk to the shop owners. Is there, you know, we're from the local church. Is there anything you'd like prayer for yourself, for your family, for your business? And most people said, no, I think we're okay. One grumpy man, don't believe that sort of thing. But one lady said, yes, my mother-in-law died on the 20th of February. Could you please pray for my husband, because he's still very upset and he's got to deal with all the estate things. And that's a lot to have to sort out when you're grieving, isn't it? So the church will continue to pray for them. The evenings we had with our hosts, and each evening during the week we went for a meal with different families, which was nice. So we went in twos, so we were shared around the church people. The team took the services on both Sundays in the mornings and the first Sunday evening. First Sunday afternoon, they had a family fun afternoon, so there was a big bouncy castle which was more like an assault course. You had to climb in one end and up and down slopes and through the other, which is fine for the kids. There's enough pressure to help them to stand up, but I thought, I'm going through that. With the weight of an adult, 13 stone, you try and stand up and it sort of goes, leans over, so I kept falling over. I had to crawl through on my hands and knees, and even that was really difficult, but I did it, and so did a few others. It's nice to be a kid sometimes. An excellent barbecue with the sausages and so on. Monday morning we prayer walked the town, and I'd been researching prayer walks. I've been interested in how different churches do it, and there seems to be a sort of general pattern, and this is what they did over in Clare. For two months before the mission, they'd been going out regularly to prayer walk the town, and you'd have people gathering, a few people from the church would gather first, they'd pray together, and then they'd go off in pairs. Where do you want us to go, Lord? And they might be led over that way, and this pair might be off that way, and this pair over there. And they pray as they walk. If they see any situation, maybe a very scruffy house, they pray for the people there. Empty houses, pray for the new people coming in. Developments like we did here, go and pray for those new houses being built, that the Lord would bless the new people coming in. And so it really was a prayer walk as we went. And that was interesting to do. And you could feel the difference that their previous prayers had made as we walked around, and as we did our door-to-door questionnaire surveys, and certainly picked up some prayer requests and led a few to Christ, as we usually do. On the bank holiday Monday, it was mingled with the public in the country park, and they'd be having picnics, just sitting around enjoying the sunshine, and you go along with your little clipboard and, excuse me, have you done the survey yet? Oh, what survey is that? I'll do it in a moment. Do you live locally? You're just passing through, so you get a few questions answered. And they're saying, what about this survey? Do it in a moment. And, do you live here? What sort of work do you do? What about this survey? And then they're really looking forward to answering the questions. And we had some good ones, some good conversations. Some people already went to church. Others were in between somewhere, and we helped them along. And there was this very eminent-looking gentleman, obviously quite well off, in one of these electric trolleys. I think he had something wrong with his legs. And he was on his way to put the bottles in the bottle bank. And he went through the survey, no, not interested in God. And I'm all right, thank you. And it brought to mind what Jesus said about how difficult it is for rich men to enter the kingdom of heaven. He thought he got it all. And 2 days later, door to door, up a fairly wealthy little side road, he'd got a lovely house there, and he came to the door. He came down the stairs on one of those chairlifts. Hello, nice to see you again. He's a very nice chap, you know. And we chatted a bit more. And obviously he wasn't going to change his mind. But as we passed, I just felt prompted to say, you're not far from the kingdom of heaven. And that sort of stopped him in his tracks. And you could see he was thinking something was happening in there. So we just pray that he will be touched and see the reality of the Lord. What else? A ladies' meal in the pub. So ladies from the church plus invited friends, and the two ladies on the team, three ladies on the team, went along to join in and perhaps have a chat with them. And the men went to the pubs most evenings, so we'd been mingling and talking to people in the pubs. There was a wholeness and healing service on the Wednesday night, which is a first. This is at the parish church. A new minister there, they'd never done this before, so he really was feeling his way in the dark. But fortunately, some people at the Baptist church had been involved in the healing ministry, so encouraged it along. Even the prior from the local priory came along. Really nice chap. Coffee mornings, which the ladies were involved with. We had a hot potato evening, which is hot potato and a meal, sort of tuna fillings and that sort of thing, but also hot potato questions. And answering those was the Through Faith Missions leader, John Hibbard, who's just finishing 20 years with the organisation and moving on to be diocesan missioner up in Sheffield. And replacing him is Richard Scott, who I've been out to mission in Kenya with. And I can't imagine anyone better to do it. He's really prayed up and ready with new ideas. And the sort of hot potato topics, euthanasia, suffering, natural disasters, supernatural, other faiths. So it's some good discussions going there. Fish and chip lunch for the elderly was another one. Youth group talent show, so with musicians, singers and impersonations. And a men's breakfast Saturday morning, and I gave a talk there. And a quiz night with puddings. I've been to a quiz and chips before at a pub, so this was similar. A free event, open to all, and good fun. Yeah, general knowledge quizzes, and I quite enjoy those. But there were some tricky brain teasers called ditloids and dingbats. Look them up on the internet. I can't really explain them, but that took a bit of getting our heads around if you'd never seen them before. So we had a good time, got some good conversations, lots of follow-ups, and the local church, six people from the local church came along with us to go door to door. A bit timid to start with, but then, oh, it's not that difficult, is it? We didn't get any Russian words ending in off. And so they'll be happy to do the follow-ups. And it's a church that really did show their love for the community and had a good reputation. Now, one thing we did focus on with the men's breakfast, and it's one of the themes for Through Faith Missions, is to reach out to men. Because, okay, we've got a good ratio here, men to women, but generally across the UK, it's about 1 in 3, 1 in 4 men in the churches. That's across the denominations. You know, it's mostly the ladies, and the men need to be in the kingdom too. And, you know, thinking about why is it that men don't respond to Christ? And I think I've found some pointers. These are generalizations. Some women like it too. Not all men are like it, but men can be more private. Some can have a superior attitude. They can be very independent. They're not as good with relationships as the ladies are. They don't or they can't share their feelings very well. They like to solve problems themselves. You know, I'm in charge, I can sort this out. They're uneasy about trusting others sometimes. They can be quite detached from other people. And this can lead to a sort of disguised loneliness, because God created us in his image, didn't he? In his spiritual image, in his likeness. And God is a relational God. He likes to have relationships with people, male, female, and men created in his image have this, there's a bit something of the solitary about them. And that can give a sort of loneliness that they meet by doing certain things. And, you know, I've talked to men in the park on my travels about God, and I think three men I've spoken to, they don't want to believe God is there because they don't want someone else telling them what to do. They've said this. You know, it's a bit of a dose of pride there. I'm in charge, I can solve my own problems, I'm okay. But they can't solve the problem of sin. That barrier between us and God that only Jesus can solve. Now, there are three parts to our being, aren't there? Body, soul and spirit. The body, we know about that. The soul, our mind, our will, our emotions. And these need feeding too. And we've got our spirit, which needs feeding from God. So our body, yes, we need the food that we eat. But Jesus said, you know, it's not just the food we eat, but we need every word that comes from the mouth of God. We need that input too. Now, how do we feed our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions? Some men are very fortunate. They're very good at relationships. Ladies certainly are. They seem to be much more geared up to that, aren't they? And so men can feed this inner need with perhaps an over-the-top hobby or interest like rugby. You know, some people get sunk into TV or money or sex or power, drink, drugs, doing things in the home, doing things to the car, hobbies. They sort of almost get obsessive about them to fill in the gap left by this soul loneliness that isn't there because of the relationships. But then there's the spirit part of our being. So we've got body, soul and the spirit. For the non-believers is almost atrophied. It's never fed. It's walled off. It's there like a seed waiting to grow. So there's a sort of second level of loneliness, a second absence of something. Because that spirit comes from God. He gave it to us. We're made in his likeness, spirit to spirit. But so many people out there close it off. Now some feed it from the dark side, with the occult, with cults, with some really nasty stuff. They hook up with the wrong kind of evil spirits. They think it's all right. Some will go for, you know, the sort of new age faiths, and complete rubbish. They make it up as they go along. And you know, some religions have been completely hijacked by New Age. And for the Christians, we hook up with Jesus Christ and God and the Holy Spirit, and there we get a wholesome filling of the Spirit, a wholesome relationship with God, and our spirit grows in the way God intended. Not by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God, we hook up, we tune into God. Yes, we receive the Spirit early on when we become Christians, but at some stage later, we can be filled with the Spirit. It's that Pentecost experience that doesn't happen instantly when we first believe or when we're baptized. It can come later. For me, it was about 2 years after I came to faith, I got that spiritual breakthrough. Lena's known God since she was a little nipper, but then a breakthrough came around about your 30s, was it? And this is an extra blessing from God, that powerful filling with the Holy Spirit, an awakening, a real nurture to our spirits. And that feeds this second loneliness. And that's where we get a wholesomeness about us that gradually grows and gradually replaces this first loneliness and those needs there. And I met a Christian yesterday in the park who was smashed out of his mind on alcohol. A Christian. But the alcohol had him hooked, because he wasn't hooked into the Holy Spirit. So he was using a different kind of spirit to meet a deep inner emotional need in his soul. And that happens so often, doesn't it? Some of you may remember that man Steve, who used to come here with the crew cut. And he was a really bad alcoholic, and eventually it killed him. And these people need our prayers, our care. Colin tried with him, I tried with him, but one day he was gone. And it's very sad. So to hook into to feed our spirits. We need prayer, the Word of God. So we need to read this. We've all got one at home. If you're not in there fairly often or feeding on other books about Jesus, blow the dust off, you know, and get stuck in. Just a little bit a day might be enough. Can we have the second slide chart? Yes, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. This comes from Psalm 130. And it's out of the depths of our being, out of our spirit. Sometimes it takes a crisis before we realise we need this inner feeding from God. Sometimes it's a good crisis, sometimes it's a bad one. There was a young man handing out tracts in the park yesterday. He's from the New Testament Church of God. Got a lovely white t-shirt with different style crosses all over it, so I went to talk to him. And this was a testimony from a woman who had had severe depression for years. Really bad. Almost a nervous breakdown. She was seeing a therapist every week, had done for about 3 years, wasn't getting anywhere. And then someone talked to her about Jesus, about the healing that can come by feeding that inner need. And she came to a point with this crisis of illness, she realized she needed that inner help. And she prayed a prayer that she'd written out on this tract. A really fervent prayer, committing herself to Christ, saying, Lord, you know why I'm like this. You know the deep causes. Because we're not born like it. We're not born depressed. It happens. Stuff happens in life. And she said, Lord, if you'll heal me of this, I will dedicate the rest of my life in your service. I will dedicate the rest of my life to go and seek others like me and lead them to you. And overnight, she changed. She went to see a therapist 2 days later, and he said, what's happened to you? And she told him. And it's that power of God can get in there, and sometimes it'll set people free, just like that, doesn't he, Tony? Praise God. Others, he takes a bit longer, but he pulls us through. I don't know if any of you have had depression. It's very common. I think it's about 1 in 9 or 10 of the population will get depression at some time in their lives. And that's when we need God to pull us through. And Lena has a little Lenten reflections on the parable of the prodigal son, From Fear to Love, written by Henry Nguyen. It sounded like a Dutch name. And for Friday, the first week of Lent, it's got this, Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. And it says, it is important to learn to move from a first loneliness to a second loneliness. The first loneliness is a sort of emotional loneliness. You need friends, you need family, you need home. But when you satisfy all those needs, then you find there's still another loneliness. You notice this in the people who win the pools. They've got very successful businesses. They're millionaires. But it doesn't feed the inner hunger. You know, they can be as rich as they like, but it's not feeding their real needs. And some of them are really driven by the past, by pains of the past, to go for money, power. There was an American football player who, he won all the time. He just went for the opposition. You know, they sort of charge at each other wearing armour, and he'd knock them flat nearly every time. And eventually he realised he had this deep anger there. He became a Christian. He went for some Christian counselling. And the man's counselling him was called Clay McLean, who's involved in the healing ministry. He comes over to the UK sometimes. And he told us about this man. And you know, Clay had told him, you've got this deep inner anger. What happens when you're out there on the field? And he said, well, when I see somebody in front of me, I see my father. His father really treated him badly, physically abused. And his anger burned against him. And Clay said, do you want to be set free of that? Took a moment, but he said, yes. And Clay said, you know, because he's a professional football player, if we set you free, if God sets you free from this, you're going to have to find a new career. Because that anger will go. But he went for it. He was prayed. He was released from that terrible damage he'd suffered as a child. And Clay was right. You know, he had to give up football. He just didn't have that anger that fought him through to win. all the time. That's the healing power of God. And then we need a different life that isn't based on aggression. American football is aggressive, isn't it? I'd like to see him play rugby without the armour. So God is calling us to a deep personal intimacy. It's not just a hi, how are you? It is an intimate personal relationship. And it's very demanding. It means we've got to let go of many things that are emotionally satisfying, intellectually satisfying. And we've got to grow to realise and trust that this deeper loneliness can't be overcome. We've got to live it and reach through it to the Lord. There's a flavour of Psalm 23 about it. Even though I walk through the valley of darkness, through this loneliness, this depression, whatever it is, there's a feast at the other end. There is a way through. God's got it. So we've got to live this deeper loneliness with trust, standing tall, and you admit it to God. Yes, I'm lonely, but this particular loneliness sets me on the road to intimacy with you, Lord. It doesn't pull me away from God or my deepest self, but it brings me closer to the source of love in the depths of my being. So I think it's very important for us to dare to welcome the fullness of this second loneliness when we realise it's there. Because it goes back to the oldest mystical traditions about spiritual life and prayer life. You know, over the centuries, monks favoured this spiritual quiet life, contemplative, and the nuns, because it gave them a special relationship with God, deeply spiritual. I used to go for weekend retreats once a month at Prinish Abbey for 4 or 5 years, was it? And it's a prayed-in place, it's spiritually safe. And I go for a weekend, they provide the meals and so on, I give them a donation, I join in the services. When they gathered around a statue of Mary and prayed at it, I just quietly left. But otherwise they were Christians, and that really did help me get closer to God. And I often meet other people there on retreat too. So it's some interesting prayer times together. And you may have heard the expression, the dark night of the soul. It's a phrase that describes that second loneliness, where they realise there's something missing. And in a way, it pushes us to know personally the true God. Once we realise he's there, he can satisfy that need, we reach through to it. And when we touch the darkness, we know that God cannot be owned. We cannot own God. He can't be grasped in the affections of the human heart, but in spirit, he's there for us. He's greater than our imaginations, than our heart, greater than our minds, our souls, greater than our spirit. But he feeds us in a very special way. He is beyond our understanding. Tremendously so. We can't begin to imagine the totality of it. And we'll see it one day when we're with him in heaven. No more loneliness. No more sickness or sore knees because the cartilage is going again. Ouch. And no more grieving or sorrow, all problems dealt with, just at peace with the Lord in that domain that's outside of time, where a day is like 1,000 years. Maybe each one of those days is like another 1,000 years, just timeless bliss with God and all those who've gone before. So Lord, may we always remember that you are with us, whether we're aware of it or not. Whatever comes along, let us be aware of you, Lord. As we go out for a walk, remind us, Lord, that you're there. Prompt us how to pray, just to be aware of you as we go. If we're in the park, or walking to the shops, or walking through the shops, you see someone in a bit of a state, Lord, bless them. Remind us to pray for them as we go. More of your grace, Lord, your power, your promptings. If we're just going for a stroll, which streets to go down? People to take note of, people to say hello to. Your spirit speaking out through us. Your word speaking through us. That's why we need those supernatural gifts of the spirit, those words and knowledge, those promptings that come almost silently, but turn this way, not that. Walk through there, wait a moment, be patient, now go. And lead us to those people you want us to befriend, to talk to pray with, to lead to Christ. Whatever it is, Lord, please guide us. Set us alight with your spirit. May we not be afraid, but just go out, step out boldly along an unknown path, following Jesus, wherever he leads. Lord, we give ourselves into your service. May we abandon those things that tie us behind, hold us back. May we step forward with you, Jesus Christ. Your light shining on our path. Your way ahead of us. The narrow way. Leading to our salvation and the salvation of others. May we find other people and bring them with us, Lord, into your kingdom. Set it in our hearts, Lord. We're not all called to be evangelists, but we are all called to witness. So grant us that power to witness and not to be afraid, but just to be a little bit bolder than we have been in the past. It's an adventure, Lord. Show us the way. We praise your holy name. You are mighty, Lord. Jesus, you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You know us through and through, Lord. You know the whole domain of time from one end to the other. You know the future. You know our past. Let us be part of your adventure as we go forward through time until our time comes to be with you for eternity, Lord. And may we touch some lives along the way for your purposes, for your glory. Lord, may this congregation, this church, this body of Christ make a difference in Gloucester. May we show that love and care for those around us, in the shops, on the streets, door to door. Please raise up a new mission team, Lord, and show us where and when to begin. We love you, Lord. We're imperfect, but help us to be more perfect. Help us to walk with you and be aware of you more often. We praise your holy name, Lord. Amen. Amen. Okay, we'll just finish with two songs. May the Mind of Christ My Saviour, followed by O Lord Hear My Prayer. It's a nice soft Taizé chant, and the words will be on the screen. Jim, over to you.